Well, greetings this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glad to have everyone here with us this morning who is here. And we're glad to have each of you that are with us by way of internet. I'm continually I don't know that surprised is the good word. I'm continually amazed at those who are with us on a regular basis by way of the internet. And so we greet you this morning in the name of the Lord. I appreciate those who let us know that you're there and share with us what is ever upon your heart at that time. And we thank you for your prayers. We thank you for your support. We thank you for your fellowship. Whether it is across this nation or whether it is in countries around the world, the point being that it is within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's a joy to just share with you once again this morning. And in all of the sessions that go out from here by those various ministries that the Lord has set together in this place. And it is our joy to reach out from here. Because actually it is the focus of ministry to reach out from here throughout the body of Jesus Christ and around the world. And it is such a tremendous privilege to be able to do that in the ways that the Lord gives us to do that very thing. And during the last period of time, the last year, we have seen a great many things taking place throughout our country, you know, and I guess around the world as well. And I'm talking about those things of natural things, those things having to do with what you can see and put your hand upon. And in the midst of all of that, we've seen many throughout the church world, some preachers, some teachers, some other means, of speaking out either in favor of or in absolute absolutely against various conditions and various things. And in all of that, because I listen very carefully to Christians, I really don't pay that much attention to most politicians, honey. Somebody that's here today and gone tomorrow, or here for a period of time and then gone, or somebody who says one thing while they're running for their offices, wherever it might be, whoever it might be, and then begin to say something else at some other time or whatever. Or even at the very best, politicians are like me, they're like you in the natural, they're just people. what I do pay attention to is what many in the church world says. Things that I hear ministers say, that I see on television, or by some means it happens to catch my eye. Sometimes it even comes to me through YouTube that someone else shows me or tells me about. And I am interested in that. Folks, if we are in Christ, and since we are in Christ. Now, I heard a brother the other day, locally here, pick up on that. I heard it on my radio coming up here the other day. And I know who the brother is and all of that, and a local program. But he was talking about being in Christ. And so I perked up. And so much of what he said, I mean, he made good statements. In Christ there is joy, in Christ there is peace, you know, going down the line. And that we are believers, he said, you know, in Christ. And I thought it was the guy that I knew, but I'd never heard him say something like that before. So I was just listening. And then, sure enough, right at the end of it, here comes the punchline. And while he was talking about being in Christ, the punchline was, and of course you all know, that it is necessary that you be baptized in water in order to be in Christ. And I just turned the whole thing off. Because, darling, all of the times that the Apostle Paul is talking about being in Christ, he is not describing that as being baptized in water. In fact, he says at one time, as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. And he's not talking about anything symbolic. He's not talking about anything symbolic. You know that if you know the Scripture. Anyone who does know the Scripture at least knows what I'm talking about there, and that's in Romans 6. He isn't talking in symbols and types and shadows. He's talking about our union with Christ by the cross, in his death, his burial, as well as his resurrection. So what I want to understand, I want to talk to you about, and we've been talking about for months now, and many of us for years, but the emphasis for months has been upon the reality of our being in Christ. And some months ago, the Lord dealt with me once again concerning the term of Zion. And I found out that Zion, well, it relates to Mount Zion, but Zion, over 150 references in the Old Testament to Zion. Mount Zion. And all of those are summed up in one reference in the New Testament, in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, where Paul makes the statement, first saying, you are not come, Hebrews 12:18, to what, is described as Mount Sinai, the giving of the law, the order of the priesthood, the description and type and measurements and all of that of the temple and the tabernacle. And all of that of the old administration given, and the law and the stones upon which the law was written, and the glory that Moses could not look face on, but could see as it were a reflection. All of that with Mount Sinai. And the first thing Paul says is that's not what you've come to. You have not come to that mountain. You have not come to that thought of God concerning our salvation. You have not come to that covenant. And he goes on and on. Voices and things that can be seen but not touched, and blackness and darkness and shakings and so forth. But you are come. But you are come. And I want us to just look at something. You are come. So I'm just going to put "are" right up here. You are come. Not one day you will come. Not you need to pray that you can come. Not we are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. No. You are come. And what we've been talking about is that Zion relates completely. And it's all summed up there in Hebrews. Zion relates to completely that which Christ Himself is. That's where Zion, as a term, as a representation in the Scripture, that's where Zion is fully, totally, completely satisfied, fulfilled. With regard to every reference in the Old Testament concerning Zion, put them together. And without exception, the term finds its meaning, its purpose, and its fulfillment in the person of Christ Himself. So it is synonymous to say, when you do say, you are come to Mount Zion, to say the same thing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. To take the over 200 references in the New Testament of that term, in Christ, in Him, in whom, in the Beloved, in Christ, it's all the same thing. And in every case, it is speaking of a union, that is described of the Lord Jesus Himself as being our salvation. in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. It begins with a receiving of you unto myself. Not some ritual, not a religious ritual, not the acceptance of rituals or certain teachings, certain doctrines, and all of this stuff. No, that isn't John 14. John 14 is, I will come anew. And he's talking about in the resurrection, hon. Where was he going? Going to the cross. He's going to the cross. He was going to his death. What did the two prophets, Moses, Ezekiel, what did they, Isaiah, what did they talk to him about on top of the mountain of transfiguration? The cross. The cross. Not only the cross, not only his death and his burial and his resurrection, but, oh yes, and the word that is used, the ascension. Ascension is also a showing himself to his Father and presenting himself to his Father as the finished work of God. Finished, absolutely. That work of God. And that's what they were talking about. John 14, Jesus says, if I go away, I will come anew and receive you unto myself. Now, hon, please do listen. Not receive you. Let me just say something. Not even in this way. I will receive you into my church. Not even in that way. It's more distinct than that. It's more personal than that. It's more person-centered than that. The person being Christ himself. I will receive you unto myself. And every time that I read that now and think about that now, I'm thinking of Matthew 11, where Jesus says, no man knoweth who the Son is, save the Father. And no man knoweth who the Father is, save the Son. And to he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And right after that he says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And with that, he says, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is not burdensome. It's not the law. It's not along that administration. It's not that at all. No, your union with me is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I will dwell in you. You will dwell in me. Come unto me. I will give you rest. Who? All ye that labor, come unto me. I will give you rest. Every time that I think about this in John 14, I hear that. Because he says what? I will receive you where? Unto myself. Not unto a religion of which I'm the chief. I will receive you unto myself. Nothing less than Christ will do. Not that we're, see, not being separated. Just hold on a minute. I've got a point. Not being separated under certain teachings, my teachings, anybody else's teachings. I will receive you unto myself. So much so that where I am, you may be also. And then he goes on to explain that. He goes on. And in verse 20 he says, In that day you will know that I am in my Father. So honey, forget about long time to come and way off in the future. No, daughter, he's in his Father now, honey. He returned to his Father in the ascension. And he came again in the fullness of Pentecost. Now, it's right there. I mean, it's really difficult to deny that. You just have to do what Israel did. He came to his own just received him not. And that's the same thing you've got to do with the scripture here. Just forget about Jesus. He hadn't come. Let's just have us a good religion here and preach it, and one day he'll come. He's already come. And if he hadn't already come, then Christianity has nothing to do. Nothing has no substance to it at all. Because the thing that makes it different from other religions, and the thing that denies that Christianity is actually a religion at all, is not that it doesn't have teachings and doctrines. The thing that makes it totally different is Christ Himself living in you by His own eternal Spirit, Christ in you. In that day you will know I am in my Father, and you are in me. And there's the term upon which Paul continually preaches, continually sets forth, in Christ. In Christ. And we even know that the little word in there means a relationship. This is what it actually means. I mean, in a relationship of rest. A relationship involving time. I'm quoting to you now. Time, place, state of being. That pretty well sums up everything. That means that's where you live. That's where you're found. Time, place, state of being. The reality of being in Christ has to do with time, eternity. For you are now in Christ. You are come to Mount Zion. Not coming. You are come. You've got to pay attention to that word that is there, because it's describing a state of being. Now, I've never told you in teaching along this line or in our monthly CDs, and by the way, we have those here for January, and it has to do with the person of Zion. But I've never told you in those monthly CDs that a believer could not be ignorant of that reality, could not have, with the eyes of their understanding, fastened upon that reality of being in Christ. Of being in Christ. And of Christ being in you. And of being in Christ a new, absolutely new creation of God. But that's what we're talking about. And Jesus puts it so thoroughly. Now, Paul expands that, and he talks about that continually because it has pleased the Father, as he says, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him. And in so doing, he talks about our being in Christ. But Jesus says, in that day, and that's the day of the Spirit of truth and the day of His coming. It was Pentecost. And that reality, in that day you will know. You'll know absolutely. You will know. And it means, the word means absolutely. You will know I am in my Father. I have finished my trip. I have come out from God. I have returned to Him. I left glory. I have returned to glory. Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with Thee before the world was. Glorify me with thine own self, Father, so that those that are with me where I am may behold my glory, which I have given unto them. That's John 17, hon. None of this is in the far away. It wasn't far, far away 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, it was declared as a reality of our union with Christ. That reality is the same, and it's ever ongoing. It is eternal. 2,000 years down the line from right now, whatever that may be doing on this pitiful planet, it will have no effect at all, nothing at all, effect or change upon our being in Christ now. The now was true that many years ago and will be true. And the only place you find years is by time and upon this planet anyway. Something else about the reality of being in Christ, hon, you're in eternity. The word in. A relationship of rest in time. That's eternity. That's what Sabbath talks about, eternity. The light of the Sabbath, the glory of the Sabbath has always been Christ Himself, the Eternal One, who dwells in you, in whom you dwell. Now, what's that got to do with all the stuff going on and everybody's attention on it and all that is taking place and all the turmoil? Well, I'm going to read it to you in just a second. What's that got to do with it? It's that all of that is temporal, hon. It was happening in one way or another before I was born. It has happened in several ways since I have been born in different ways. We have gone through 2 world wars, and I don't know how many other skirmishes, and some of them actually wars, in my lifetime. And now they're gone. That may be a temporary thing. Everything else on this earth is a temporary thing. It's all set up as, you know, so many years, so many terms, whatever. The reality, darling, is in the midst of all of this, you are in Him who is eternal. And I don't deny what we're in the midst of. I deny that that determines my life. I deny that that determines my life or my state of being. And I'm not an idiot. I know what's going on in the world. I know whether I naturally or in the natural like it or don't like it or whatever. That's not the point. The point is that it came, it will also go. I don't know which direction it will go in. It'll just go. It'll go somewhere. My point is for the believer. And I'm not trying to say something to you about elections or about political parties. I'm not trying to say something to you about that. What I'm saying is what the Lord has been saying in our hearts for years, and what the Spirit of God, all of this past year and before, has been drumming in my soul, and that is this reality of our being in Christ. In Christ. That is not determined by the world. It isn't determined by this planet. It isn't determined by anything taking place on this planet or anything that will ever take place on this planet does not determine my life. Are your life, believer friend? If you be in Christ, quickened together, raised together, seated together, as one body, as one creation, in Christ Jesus. My point, hon, is, or at least a little bit of my point, is that regardless of the conditions, now, you know, regardless of the conditions, say, you have to admit that in this last year they have changed, but what about the year before that, and the year before that, and the year before that? Maybe you liked the condition better. Maybe some of you didn't. It depends on your natural viewpoints. But my point is, nothing that changes on earth changes the reality of our being in Christ. That does not change. And it isn't that I need to just stick my head in the ground and say, okay, I just won't look. No, that's not the answer. The answer is that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. That we may understand where we are, where our life is. where we eternally are. That we understand the creation that is in Christ Jesus. Because then in that understanding, whatever we do on earth, and only since this is right up on top of us and has been, you know, whatever if I vote, and I do. But what is behind that? And whatever it is that I do, if I truly understand what it means to be in Christ, if in my heart and soul I am living in the reality of Zion, you are come, and that I haven't made a religious tinker toy or a religious fable out of Zion, that Zion is something that'll come in the future. No. If I am living in the reality of everything that Zion represents, being fulfilled in Christ, and if I am living in the reality of my being in Christ, then whatever I do, on this earth, in this world, I will do it as one having no life but Christ. I will do it as one whose dwelling place is Christ. I will do it according to the comprehension of which Jesus speaks in that day, which is this day right now, because there's only one day. Janie was talking about that to someone yesterday, or sending them a text or whatever. There's only one day to those who are in Christ. This is not a fable. There's just one day. There's only one light of that one day. And it's the light of life, because the day is the substance of our life. It's Christ, darling. It's Christ. So whatever we do on this earth, on this world, if we have the comprehension of which Christ spoke, you will know I'm in my Father. Now, I was thinking about this last night, and I woke up thinking about it this morning. And that, because of that, I haven't, you know, I have notes and stuff that I put over here yesterday, and I rarely ever get to them. I get to what is throughout them. But here's the point that came to me. Many of you have read, and you don't understand what Jesus says. I don't know. I do know. I know that I don't understand all that he says. But here's what I'm talking about. How many times have you read where he said, I do nothing but what I see my Father do? Now, he was living in the flesh. He was with his disciples and the people. And he says, I do nothing but what I see my Father do. I say nothing but what I hear my Father say. I do nothing of myself. What is he actually saying? Except I live on earth in a union with my Father. Whatever I do on this earth, I do as one who is in the Father and the Father is in me. But nobody knew that. Nobody believed that. They threw rocks at him when he said that. His disciples didn't understand it. But he said that time and time again. He said that. And he took that right up to the cross. Right up to the cross. Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say that you saved me from this hour? Nay, for this cause is this hour come, and I am come to this hour. Father, you glorify your name. Because he knew that for that little while, not only this 30 years and then this 3.5 years, it all finally is summed up to that really being lower than the angels for a little while. And that's what every Bible commentator that knows what they're talking about will tell you. For a little while. Lower than the angels for a little while. Not a little lower than the angels. Lower than the angels for a little while. It finally comes to 3 days. It finally comes to the cross where he has to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he has to cry out, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Oh, hon, this is when he takes the full load of humanity upon him. The full load of humanity, the full load of sin, the full load, yes, of all that he's taken to the cross and will defeat it, and bring it to its end in his death, because he's going to take that death into himself and into that burial, into the depths of the earth, as it were, and come forth in the absolute power of his resurrection, being the only life that comes out from among the dead. The only living one that comes out from among the dead. The one of whom Paul says, like as Christ was raised up out from among the dead by the glory of the Father. So also should we walk in newness of life. Yes, because that's the only life that came forth. His life. He as life. And therefore, hon, the only thing you and I are going to find in Zion, in Christ, is one life. That's all. One life. One seed. One seed. Paul, trying to get that across to Gentiles and to Jews, said concerning this divine union, the reality of our being in Christ. What did he say? Neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female. A new creation, born of an eternal seed of God, the only seed that God has. That seed, which is Christ. It was that seed of which God spoke when he spoke to Abraham concerning the seed. And Paul says that. The promises of God were not unto many as seeds. Christianity today lives more like seeds than anything else. But it's not like seeds. The promise is not unto seeds. Paul goes on to say this. You know where it's in his letters. There particularly to Galatians. The promises of God unto Abraham or to Abraham and his seed. Which seed is Christ? Which seed is Christ? And Peter's saying that. To you and I, it's a small thing, but it's a really large thing that Peter says, because Peter primarily writes to the Jews and he's telling them, you are not that seed. We are being born from above, not by corruptible seed, same thing Jesus told Nicodemus, not by corruptible seed, but by incorruptible seed, by the word of God, who, W-H-O, who, a word, who, liveth forever. Eternal life, darling, is not something we have or that he's going to give us. It's him who dwells in us and lives in us. Now all I'm trying to do today, because we've done it time and time again, but that's the way the Lord does me. Time and time again. And that's the thought that he brought to me yesterday concerning himself. How am I to live on earth as in heaven? How am I to live on earth as in Christ? How did Christ live on earth in an earthly body, which he put down at the cross? As one having no earthly life of his own. As one honoring the union that he has with his Father. He's on an earthly body. Yes, he is, darling. And he, but you see, you and I both know, He met circumstances on earth day by day by day, but not as one who was trying to change the earth or change humanity by anything that he actually did. And yet in what he did, he showed forth the reality of a salvation that would come by Him. Go and sin no more. But He would get those same multitudes together, even that He fed bread to and fishes to, and He would begin to declare Himself as an altogether different life. He began to declare that what they had at that time was not the life that He was. He would begin to declare eternal life. And they would all just leave. Even those that He fed just left. Because He didn't do that every day, but every day He presented Himself and the reality of a salvation that was to come by Him. He did that to His disciples too, and they sat and just scratched their heads. You know what they did. They didn't, well, a bunch of them did, just left. 12 of them didn't, and one of those would betray Him, according to the Scripture. You ever think about that? You ever think about the Lord? You just give the Lord some thought of how He lived for 3.5 years in that ministry. Did you ever? That He wasn't here to just make things better, but to bring in a whole new creation. Knowing what He would do at the cross. Well, that's what He did. Now, I want to show you something in the few minutes that we have left, because we'll look at it again. I want to show you, with regard to what we've been saying, and I really told myself that I'm not going to relate anything that I'm saying to the conditions of that are going on in this country right now, but it's very difficult not to do it, because I realize, even for some little things that I heard people talking about yesterday or sending their little whatever you call it, because I thought, my God, everything they're talking about is based on what we, many of us, call a tragedy or this, you know, whatever. I mean, nobody here, and they're all Christians and they're all this and that, nobody here is rejoicing in the Lord. Nobody. And then I realized that when the whole thing didn't go my way, and not just my way, what I claim to be the right way. But what I claim to be the right way is still an earthly way. It still has to be done by men. You understand? It still has an end to it. It has a death to it. It's not an eternal way. And I realized that I didn't rejoice either. And then the Lord dealt with me. Because see, honey, if we don't understand our union with Christ and our being in Christ, then we are going to be on a merry-go-round, but up and down situations in everything. because we're going to look for Christ in what we can see and hear and taste and touch. Well, all of those things are according to what we think. You know, I think it's cold today. Somebody that probably was born and raised in the North Pole would say, no, this is not cold here today. Because we develop all of our thoughts and everything we call good, bad, and mean, and ugly, we develop it by what we see and hear. On this creation, the one that you can touch and taste. Hon, that's not the one we are. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. But my Lord, to know that the excellency of the power be of God and not us. I want to show you God's answer. Not only to worldwide things, not only to countrywide things, God's answer to humanity. God's answer to a whole creation. God's answer to my soul. Psalms, the second psalm. It relates to Zion now, because what we will eventually relate this to more than ever, and that is Zion. It's all I'm talking about on the monthly CDs, but it's what I'm talking about everywhere. The reality that Zion is not something other than Christ. Zion is representing in a testimony in the Scripture everything that Christ is, and everything that at the time the Scripture was being written in the Old Covenant, Zion was pointing to. It has come. It's come in Christ, and you are come to Zion. Any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. You are come to Mount Zion. It's the same thing, except Zion spreads it out. Oh, the greatness to which we are come. But what it is the greatness of Christ. Look at this. Psalms 2, why do the heathen rage? Now, I'm not going to tell you that's a prophecy of 2020. Because it'll be the same way in 3020. It was the same way in 1941. And it was the same way when what most scholars say is that what in David's day. What it did, it all culminated in a way that was beyond description at the cross. Because this whole thing has to do with the taking away of the first and the bringing in of an altogether new in Christ Jesus. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and His anointed, saying, well, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. I mean, you can read it in there, laugh at their stupidity. Laugh at what they think that they can do. He laughs. shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. And that just takes us to the cross. But here's the term. All of this. Why do they rage? Why this? Why that? The heathen. Yet, in the midst of everything that comes and goes and comes and goes and up and down, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Do we actually realize in our heart by divine revealing of that Son, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Do we really comprehend? Ye are come to Mount Zion. Not this mount out here that we sit on here just out of Leslie, Arkansas. That's not the mountain. That's not the mountain. This is a mountain where we gather, where we work together, where we do everything together, and out from here minister together, and people gathers here. Yes, yes, yes. But the reality is we are come to Mount Zion. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I will declare the decree. Not only set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Please take that in your Bible to Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. Or Hebrews, the 1st chapter, excuse me. Hebrews, the 1st chapter. And read through to verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, he shall be to me a son. And then again, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. What? Hebrews, this letter is nothing less than the extreme exaltation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now I'll close with this because I know what time's gone. God's answer to my soul, to your soul, to my daily situation, good, bad, ugly, God's answer, hon, because his answer has got to be within. There isn't one without. There isn't one without. That'll all pass. There is not. The answer is within. What we do without, if it is based upon the answer within, well, that's one thing. But to try to find an answer without, that's an altogether different thing, and it won't work. His answer to my soul is the extreme exaltation of his Son. I will set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. My God, ye are come. He doesn't do that, come on, honey, somewhere in outer space or what? In Mount Zion, you are come to Mount Zion. You are come. You will know I'm in my Father. You're in me. I am in you. God's answer is to exalt that Son. This day, that's the day of the resurrection. That's the day of the resurrection. This day have I begotten thee. Yes, out from among the dead. As the firstborn. Hallelujah. Well, hon. I live on earth, but I live there in Christ, in the heavens. In the heavens. Now I'd like to talk with you about the keys to the kingdom. Jesus talked to his disciples about. Because the keys to the kingdom and the judgment of the kingdom is what is really acceptable on earth? That which is acceptable in Christ. Loosed is the word there, means acceptable. What is not acceptable on earth? That which is not acceptable in Christ. Well, what's acceptable in Christ? To the Father? That which the Son is. Whose righteousness is acceptable there? The Son. Whose life? Who's going down the line? It's Him. It's Him. That which is acceptable in heaven is Christ. So we declare that which is acceptable in heaven to be that which is acceptable on earth, and that which is acceptable on earth to be that which is acceptable in heaven. Not a bunch of things. But the one who is the fullness and substance of heaven. The one whose body we are, folks. The one who is the only life that we do have. Because He is the only life that there is. What mankind calls life is not life at all. Lord, thank You for Your great grace. For that grace is made available to us in the person of Thy Son, for He is the full measure of it. Deal with us by Your Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, that's it. May the Lord bless.